Shall we pray together? Loving Father, we thank you for this reading of your holy, infallible word. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus today, let the power of your word be like a fire in our midst, burning up every trace of sin, burning in us, Lord, to reveal Jesus. Let your word be like a hammer that breaks the lies of the enemy in pieces. Let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you that your word is pure, giving light to the eyes. Your word is trustworthy. And Father, we pray that this morning we would hear your word and put it into practice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a happy new year to you all. Blessed new year to you. And it's been quite a Christmas time. We've seen over 2,500 people through the church in December. And God has really been gracious and blessed the ministry and all that God's done. We're really grateful. And can I just say thank you to everybody as well who has served on team or been part of something over the Christmas period, whatever that may be. Really, it is much appreciated. We couldn't do anything really without just the God's people getting involved, getting their sleeves rolled up and getting stuck in. So thank you for volunteering and thank you for being part of the mission of God here. Now over the next kind of few months really, we're going to be looking at various scriptures that focus in on our church vision and just bring us back and remind us again of what we're about as a church family. Some of you I know are newer to St. Mary's perhaps and perhaps haven't heard us speak about the church vision so much. And others of us, we all need reminding, don't we? And we're all part of this together. So our church vision, it's up there on the board. It's basically everywhere you look. every person, every place, saturated with God. And we're looking at this thing about being saturated with God. And what does it mean to be saturated, to be in so many ways, it's very simple. It's basically being filled with the Spirit. It's being so full of God. It's being soaked with God, full of God, emptied himself and filled with God. And that's the journey that we're on. None of us have arrived. This week I've wrestled in my own heart over different things where I've wrestled with different fears and anxieties and struggles in my own heart. And in so many ways, I'm preaching to myself this morning because none of us have arrived. But we press on toward the mark. We press on to what God has called us to. None of us are disqualified. Everybody is invited and included in this vision because it's for every person, it's for every place to be saturated with God. And the particular word I want to look at today is, we're going to look at a few different things, but is about revival. And I want to speak about this right at the beginning of 2019 because it's the dream. It's a tremendous dream that's on my heart. This is partly what I wrestle with this dream because I'm so aware of my own inadequacy in it. My own failings and my own, like Paul said, you know, sometimes we feel like the chief of sinners. But actually God has called us to something amazing together. And so never mind whether what we feel about it, it's what God has said is the main thing, isn't it? It's not whether we feel up to it. It's not called the Christian feeling. It's the Christian faith. And we come to God not on the basis of our feelings, but on the basis of who he is. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we want to look at this theme of revival, which is a dream. I used to know this songwriter in the Highlands, Alec Muir. He wrote a song called God Has Given Us a Dream of a Glorious Day to Come when the light of Christ will shine on every land. He'll fulfill our heart's desire when he sends the heavenly fire that will sweep in flames of glory or the land. And that's the dream that God has given to to me and to, I hope and pray to each one of us here at St. Mary's to see a spiritual awakening, to see a day which we've never seen before in our lifetimes, when God comes. And Isaiah 64 prays this prayer. He says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." That's sometimes we need to put the big O back into our prayers. That's a prayer that comes from the heart. It's not just lip service to God. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at your presence." The mountains representing the obstacles, that the mountains might flow down at your presence. There's plenty obstacles to God in our culture, in our town, in our lives, to be honest, in our hearts. But God says that he wants to make those obstacles flow down, like every valley would be raised up and every mountain would be laid low, and the glory of the Lord would be revealed. And we pray for such a day. And as I was reflecting on it, I was also thinking, I've been reading a book, a secular book over the holidays. The book's called Enough. It's written by a journalist. It's called Enough. And it's about how we've got enough. I know that there are plenty in our culture today, in our world today, who don't have enough, and there is poverty and there is great lack. But for so many of us, actually, it's the opposite problem. We actually overindulge in things. We have more than we need. We have more food. We have more information. They talk about infobesity. Anybody else ever feel overwhelmed by information? Just the sheer amount of avalanche of emails, texts, Instagram, you name it. It's a never-ending waterfall that kind of crashes in on you and just suffocates life. Does anyone ever feel that their phone is killing them? sucking the life out of them. Anybody ever feel that? I do. I've been reflecting on my phone addiction. You know, let me be honest. I think I'm probably addicted to my phone. Anybody else feel like that? That's what happens in our culture today. We've got so much of stuff, we don't know what to do with it, and it's strangling us. But what made me, as I was reading this book, and this journalist was talking about the kind of the saturation of stuff, possessions, information, you name it, it got me thinking about actually our vision, which is to be saturated with God. It got me thinking how much time we spend saturating our lives with worldly things. More of this, more of that, more of the next thing. And actually, do you know what? If most of us, hear me right, I know that some people have lack, but most of us have more than enough, don't we? And what we need actually, what we really need is God. That's what we really need. God. We need more of God. More of Him. And if anybody this morning is hungry for God, then you're in a good place. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And that's what we're praying for this year, that we can be filled with God, filled with who God is. And so 2019, our great need is for a spiritual awakening. Our great need is for a revival. And Ezekiel here, chapter 37, he gives us this picture of what a revival, what a spiritual awakening looks like. It's important to paint a picture. Otherwise, what does it mean? You know, put something real on it. And God spoke to Ezekiel here, his prophet, and gave him this picture of Israel. In fact, God says that's what it is. He says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off.'" So the picture here is of the nation. And today we are in a time of crisis in our nation. But I want to say, obviously there are other crises that are important. But it's by no way, all other crises fall into insignificance compared to the spiritual crisis that is in our nation and in our community, in our streets. It's not something out there. It's something that we can battle with every day. The spiritual need of our nation and of our communities is the greatest need. It's never reported in the media, but its signs are everywhere. And that's where we need to be thinking. And here we want to start in this passage in Ezekiel 37, which if you could have open, that would be wonderful, because we're going to look at a few verses. We want to start with this scene of a saturated person in an impossible situation. And the verse 1 says this, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel speaking. And when I read that, that challenges me to the core, and I say, oh God, put your hand upon me. We need men and women and boys and girls with God's hand upon them. People who are living not just for this world and the pleasures and the demands of this world, but living unto eternity, living unto the purposes of God in our generation, living, seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. This hand of the Lord being upon him is a term that we might want to describe as, he was, in a way, he was saying, the Holy Spirit was upon me. Just like Jesus said in Isaiah 61 when he prophesied in Luke, I think it's 4, when he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. We want to be men and women who can say that. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Here, that is a saturated person. Now, Ezekiel, like us, was a sinner under the mercy of God. Not perfect, but God's hand was on him. He was available. As someone once said, that old quote, it's not our ability, it's our availability that God is looking for. And God found Ezekiel. And God looks here this morning and he sees your heart and mine. And the question in my heart is, oh God, well, the prayer in my heart is, God, put your hand upon me, put your hand upon us. Fill us with your Spirit. Let the Spirit of the Lord anoint every one of us for all that he has for us. It's about the anointing. It's about being separated unto God. It's about encountering God. People who know God. And that is one of the issues of spiritual poverty in our nation, that so many of us are poorer in the things of God. We're not rich towards God. We're actually paupers towards God. But God has made everything available to us, but somehow we still live as paupers in the kingdom in terms of our relationship with him. But Ezekiel here, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And that's something for us to really reflect on in this new year. God's hand upon our lives. Do you know God's hand upon you today? And if not, then you can sing. We may need to keep singing that chorus, just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I come. Lord, I come. I tell you, in the midst of my own struggles this week, that's what I've been praying. Simple prayers, nothing complicated. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. I'm coming to you now. Just under my breath, walking up and down wherever I go, you know, Lord, I come to you. I need you. Fill me afresh. Lord, I don't want to be far from you. I want to be close to you. Lord, bring me back. Some of us, that's the word for you this morning. Lord, I come. Put your hand upon me. And it starts there. The spiritual awakening starts there. Unless we know the hand of God on our lives, everything else is, you know, just meetings. We can carry on in 2019 with meetings, but we want more than that. We want God's hand upon us. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Do we know that place? And then it goes on to say, he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. What's interesting here is that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And what did God do with him then? He took him into a tough place. This is a saturated man in an impossible situation. He didn't take him into a place of blessing. He didn't take him into a place of comfort. He took him into the midst of an impossibility. And the funny thing that's often counterintuitive to what we believe is that sometimes the nearer to God we are, the more trouble we find. And the favor of God is often revealed through trouble. That's what Mary found when she was, the angel appeared to her. It all went south from there, to be honest, for Mary, because she went through she was misunderstood, she was ostracized, because people thought she'd got pregnant out of wedlock. Her trouble started when she saw the angel. And that was a favor of God on someone's life. I mean, the same for Isaiah. When he saw God, he said, "I'm undone." Isaiah was a good man. Isaiah would have been on our PCC, no problem. But it was the moment he saw God, he was undone. Look at what happened to Jesus. When he was baptized, the Spirit came on him. What happened to him next? Into the desert to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. That's what happened to him. And Ezekiel is the same. If you find yourself in a valley, maybe the Lord is doing something in the valley. Sometimes we just want to, you can't live on a mountaintop forever. The valley is sometimes a place that God takes us to reveal his glory in us. God is calling for our holiness, which is much more precious than our happiness. That's what God wants in our lives. And so this valley, the prophet said it was full of bones. And just to rub it in, he said they were very dry. So this is an impossibility. This is an impossible situation here. There's no hope. A hopelessness. Does anybody ever feel hopeless when you face situations? And when we think of our nation today, 65, 66 million people, how many of them are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I mean, even in our own community here of 35,000, we might have something 800 to 1,000 people in a church in Loughton this morning. And what about all the others? God calls us to live in a valley. This is a valley, and it is very dry spiritually. Sometimes we have to lift up our eyes and look and see the need all around us and take our eyes off ourselves and look out and say, "God, give me a vision of the world that needs you. Give me a vision beyond myself. Give me a vision beyond the next bill, paycheck, whatever it may be, that so often consumes us, and say, God, lift up my eyes to see the harvest that is white, that is ready for harvest." But Joel chapter 3:14 describes it this way. It says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." And there are so many people, thousands, tens of thousands and more, who don't know the Lord. And this issue of spiritual awakening is not just, wouldn't it be nice to have a revival? It is a life and death issue for people. It is so important that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's that whosoever will, let him come. That's God's heart. God's heart is good towards everyone. He longs to bring them to himself. And how many people are there who have sometimes never heard the gospel or never heard it right? Sometimes they've been put off church because of Christians. Sometimes they've been put off church because of religiosity. Or maybe they just don't know. Many of the opportunities I have in local schools, the children and young people don't know the absolute basics of the Christian faith. And who is going to tell them? How are they going to? This is the valley that we live in. It is very dry. And do we see how dry it is? Do we see, like the prophet, there is absolutely no pretending here. God wants his prophet to see the awfulness of the situation that confronts the nation. He wants him to understand that this is a crisis in the nation. That there is this valley of dry bones. Do we feel it? Do we know it? Does it touch us, this world that we live in, without hope, without God, lost for eternity? Does it touch us? Because here in this picture, there is a saturated man in an impossible situation. That is what God wants you to be and me to be. The hand of the Lord to be upon you. In your street, with your friends, in your neighborhood, as part of a body here like we are together. The hand of God on our lives. Don't we want to see God do something? Is anybody bored with a Christian life without God breaking in? Let's be honest. We want more. God is able. This is not all there is. God is able to do so much more than we can ask or even imagine. But the place to start is recognizing the need. Because if we trundle on just seeking more of things from this life and becoming fickle consumer Christians, like so many people in the church up and down our nation today, we will get exactly what we put in, which is if you put in consumer, you get out consumer, rather than awakening, rather than spiritual power. And we will get exactly what we put in. We are really as near to God as we actually want to be. And that is the truth for this year. And God is looking for us to say, God, I want to stand on my feet and say, I am one who says, I want more. I want more. I want to see more happen. I'm a broken person. I don't get it right most of the time, but I know I want more of God. I want more of God in our community. I want more of God in my life and in my church, in my family, every person, every place, in my street, in my neighborhood. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want it to be you, Father God. Then the scene moves on, and God asks a question. And it's always interesting when God asks a question in the Bible. Like he asked Isaiah this question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the Lord is asking Ezekiel this question, and he says, son of man, can these bones live? That is a question for us this morning. We may recognize the spiritual dryness all around us, maybe in us. But Lord, can anything change? Is it possible that God could do something? Is it possible that something might shift? Can these bones live? Have you heard the Lord ask you a question? Have you heard the Lord ask you this question? Can these bones live? What would you say to the Lord? I think Ezekiel's answer is an amazing answer. He says, Lord, you alone know. But what I read into that, different people read different things in, but what I read into that is, God, it has to be you. It has to be you. I can't do it. It's got to be God. And I'm not interested in St. Mary's making a difference. I want it to be God making a difference through us. And I want everybody to know it was God's doing. We are not after any glory for ourselves. We want God to move. We want God to be glorified. We want everybody to see through whatever we do, it is God at work. And God, Ezekiel comes and he says to the Lord, Lord, you alone know. Only you can do it, God. And when I look around our town or this Epping Forest community, whether you live in Epping, Harlow, Faden Boys, Buckhurst Hill, wherever you may live, Waltham Abbey, and you look around your community, do you see what Ezekiel saw? A valley of dry bones. And do you hear the call of God to say, can these bones live? And do you agree that it actually the answer has to be, well, God, if it's going to change, it has to be you. I can't do it, God. Lord, it has to be you. Do you look around and see the people and catch the vision? Like, do you know why we call the room the Smith Room? It's after two old ladies in their 80s, Christine and Peggy Smith, and they saw something. God gave them a vision at a time where there were no young people in their churches. God gave those two old ladies a vision of the church crowded with young people and revival breaking out in their community. And that vision so impacted on them, they saw something in spiritually with their, it's not like they saw it with their eyes, it was like they saw it in their hearts. They grasped this. And it made such a difference and had such a deep impression on them that it took them to prayer. These two old ladies that we might think of, well, their time has passed. Well done, you know, at some point the Lord will take you to glory, but it's the young people who do the main great things around here. And that wasn't the case for those two old ladies who were both, one of them has a chronic arthritis, which is extremely painful, and one of them was blind. So none of these people had it easy. You know, they could easily say, oh, you know, poor me, I've got a situation that I'm going to just focus in on myself. But no, they didn't. They didn't. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. I'm sure they had bad days like we all do. But those two old ladies got a vision of their church crowded with young people. And it so deeply impressed them that they prayed and they prayed and they called the minister to prayer. And they got a word from God. The word was this word. It was from Isaiah 44. And the word is, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And that's the word they kept bringing. They felt God was saying to them, that's a scripture to hold on to. And what did they do? They didn't just name it and claim it and walk off and have a coffee. As so many people in the contemporary church do. They think it takes 5 minutes to break a stronghold. You can't do much in 5 minutes, to be honest, friends. They prayed. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they called others to pray with them. They took the word seriously. They didn't. I think sometimes today we have so many prophetic words, we don't take them seriously. We don't act on them. We kind of take them and they come and go. They're, you know, the cheap currency of prophecy today. And actually, do you know what? We need to be getting a word from the Lord that arrests us, that stops us in our tracks, like Isaiah's word here, and that makes us sit bolt upright and says, we've got to do something about this. And that's what they had. They prayed until God came. There's a lovely scripture in Hosea that says, sow for yourselves in righteousness, reap the fruits of unfailing love, break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes. And I always think that's a brilliant scripture because it doesn't say when to stop seeking the Lord. It just says seek the Lord until he comes. I think we've given up too easy. I think we've caved in too quickly. How do we know what's on the other side of prayer unless we seek the Lord and pray? How will we ever see it unless we pay the price, count the cost, and go through and pray as those two old ladies did? There's nothing inevitable about that valley of dry bones coming to life. Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. He obeyed God. If he hadn't obeyed God, the bones would have been even very, very dry. It took God coming into partnership with a man who was saturated with him. Somebody whose hand was, God's hand was upon Ezekiel's life. And God touched his heart and he saw something, just like those two old ladies did. Just like Amy Carmichael did from the Carmichael Room. God touched her heart. She saw the needs of the orphans and so set up an orphanage all over India. Just like God spoke to William Booth of the Salvation Army and how they went all around the world preaching the gospel caring for the lost and the last and the least. God gave them a vision, and God put his hand upon them. Has God put his hand upon you for something? Has God given you a vision? What's the vision God's put in your heart? The vision that God's put in my heart is to see a spiritual awakening here. I saw it the first day I came around the corner and looked at this church. Before I was appointed, I could see it in the spirit. That God wants to do something here remarkable. Not because we're remarkable, because he is remarkable. Can you see? And if you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, I'd love to be able to see. Then friend, be filled with the Spirit. The place you need to start is to say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I renounce all the ways of this world, and I say all that I want is Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit, which is another way of saying saturated with God. Full of the Holy Spirit. That is the heart of God here. So only God can do it. We're not going to do it through organization. We're not going to do it through planning or just us coming up with a slightly tweaked program. That's not going to cut it spiritually. The death are all around us. The spiritual death all around us can only be broken by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And we see here in Ezekiel 37, the Word and the Spirit come together. Because God gives Ezekiel a word to prophesy. It's a God-given word. But he also says he prophesied to the breath. Come breath and breathe. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of God come together. And there is power. And I want to say, friend, today, if you are neglecting the Word and the Spirit in your life, it will be powerless. But if you are giving attention to the Word and the Spirit in your life, the power will flow. So God calls this man into an impossible situation. And that's why I love our heart as well, that nothing is impossible with God. It's not us, it's with God. Because when God gives Isaiah that prophetic word, and so, Ezekiel says, prophesy, and the bones come together, something begins to happen. Something begins to happen. And I want to say that for me, this the application of what Ezekiel prophesied here comes for us in terms of us proclaiming and praying the Word of God and prophesying. We want to proclaim, prophesy, and pray. That's what it looks like for you and I to do that. And I would encourage us to be people, and I want to just focus on one of those this morning. It's the one of prayer. Prayer. And James says, you have not because you ask not. And because you're asking for all the wrong things. We're asking for car parking spaces, and we're asking for, you know, nicer houses, and for God to help us extend our whatever, you know, living rooms or something. And actually, God is saying, God wants us to take much more bold prayers than that. Prayers that will really shake heaven and hell. To be a people who pray the purposes of God in our generation. Isn't that what we're about? Far more than just the things of the daily affairs of life is actually, God is interested in those things. Don't get me wrong, please don't mishear me. But there is far greater priority here on people coming to know Christ. Amen. And so God calls us to pray the Word of God, to pray the scriptures. You can take, like those two old ladies took, that scripture from Isaiah 44. Ask God to give you a word from his word to pray for the community. And there was another example of prayer. When a 16-year-old, we'll go from an 80-year-old to a 16-year-old. 16-year-old young man, Donald MacPhail, who was saved in the Lewis Revival. And Duncan Campbell was preaching one day. And they were having, it was extremely hard atmosphere in the meeting. Very difficult atmosphere. There were seven men in the back row drunk. who'd come in to disrupt the meeting. And so they were having all sorts of tomfoolery and so on. And Duncan Campbell decided, I'm getting nowhere. I'm just going to stop. Some of you might be hoping that will happen here. nearly there. He said, I'm just going to stop. And he saw Donald MacPhail. And he saw that the Spirit of the Lord, the hand of God, was on Donald. And he said, Donald, would you pray for us? And that 16-year-old boy started to pray in the meeting. And as he prayed, and I hope I'll get this right just from memory, but he said in his prayer, he was so near to God, God gave him a vision in his prayer. He said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing by the throne of God. And he said, oh God, there is power there. Let it loose. And they said it was like the force of a hurricane went through that meeting. And all seven of those drunk men were saved that night. And many of them became ordained and were, you know, went on with the Lord. They weren't, they didn't make easy peasy decisions for God. They went right there. God, the Holy Spirit worked. But God's Spirit came through that church like a hurricane. Now, I've only heard about that. I've never seen that. Wouldn't you like to see that? I would like to see that. That's what we want. But it came as a response to prayer. It came when a 16-year-old got in touch with God. In the other case, it came when 80-somethings, racked by illness, got in touch with God. And God moved. The prayer, God's answering those prayers becomes irresistible to God when he finds people like that. And like with Ezekiel, he prophesied, and the bones came together. And then the second time he prophesied, life came into them. That life did not come from Ezekiel. It came from the Lord. Only God can save our nation. Only God can save our community. Only God. That's why when I kind of agree with people who want to make campaigns for this, that, and the next thing about how our country is becoming less Christian. But really what we need to do is pray. Because what we need is a revival. What we need is a spiritual awakening. What we need is a community to become saturated with God. That's what Duncan Campbell defined revival as, a community saturated with God. A people saturated with God. And that's what we want to be. I pray that that's what we want to be. And it starts from that place. God, put your hand upon me. Put your hand upon me, Lord. I looked up this a few days ago about our district here in Epping Forest. And I looked up, I think the best statistics I can work out are that in 2019, something like 1,200 people will pass into eternity in our own district here. And we have this year of grace in their lives. We want them to come to know Christ. We don't want them to be lost. We want them to know God. And it starts with us, where we say, God, set a fire in my life that is uncontainable. But it won't look snazzy, polished, or anything like that. It will probably be messy, broken, trouble-filled, lonely. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for Ezekiel. The call on a prophet was, prophets were lonely people. They were misunderstood. Plenty of people, if we go for revival, will oppose us because of this, that, and the next thing. But actually, let's walk the road of Jesus. Let's walk the road of the kingdom of God. And so let us be those who pray. Shall we turn to that now? Shall we just have a moment of prayer? We want to pray. God has done it before. As I've said, in 1859, 1 million people came to Christ in that 1 year in the United Kingdom. In 1904, tremendous revivals broke out all across America and Europe. There's been many revivals that have taken place over the years. And God can do it again. But he is looking for a people. It starts with us. That's the call of God on you and on me this morning. Why don't we just take a moment to be quiet? Can these bones live? Heavenly Father, stir up, I pray, a vision. I pray that the hand of the Lord would come upon us. God's hand upon us. Put your hand upon me, Lord. Put your hand upon me, Lord. You can pray that prayer. Lord, put your hand on me. Now in Jesus' name. I need you, Lord. You can pray that prayer. God, give me a vision of a lost, broken world, dry without God, hopeless. And Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that through Jesus, there is hope. That Jesus' blood can cleanse from every sin. And no stronghold is too strong for him to break. That nothing is impossible with God. Give us a vision, Father, that believes that. Lord God, would you stir us out of consumer complacency into spirit-filled discipleship? Give us a vision of the world around us, Lord, that needs you. And send us into it, Lord, with the love of Christ. And I pray that you would give us a bigger vision than ever for prayer. Not to be paupers in prayer, but to be rich towards God in prayer. To walk with God in prayer. Oh God, come. Have mercy on us, Lord. And I just want to pray that the picture I have in response this morning is that picture where if God is saying to you, he wants it, or if you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I want you to touch me in that place of prayer. Give me that vision. I believe the right response, or one response you could make, is to get alone with God this day or this week by yourself with God and just cry out to him for a fresh move of the Spirit in your life. He's only going to touch the hungry. It's not about 5 minutes this morning. It is about those who are hungry will be fed. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that awaken that hunger in us, all of us, that we're all included in and invited to. But I pray, Father, that cause us to get alone with you this week, to fall on our knees and to cry, oh God, put your hand on me. Oh God, I need a fresh move of God in my life. I'm stale and I need a fresh touch that will revive and bring an awakening into my own heart. Oh God, come. And then let God give you a vision. Let God give you his heart for prayer, his heart for the world. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Just the last word is that many are called and few are chosen. And I've preached this message to everybody this morning. But some of us will decide to just carry on and just shrug it off and just keep going. Keep your head down. Move on. And I just want to encourage and implore you and plead with you not to do that. Don't, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear God's voice calling you to be an Ezekiel, to be someone who prays for that spiritual awakening, someone who needs that in their own heart and calls out to God, then brother or sister, do not turn away from that word. Pursue it eagerly. Thank you, Father. So Lord, I thank you and I praise you and ask that you would put your Spirit now on each one of us to respond in the way that you're calling us to. And I ask that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.